So the Pshuto Shal Mikra means you should celebrate the holiday of Sukkot for the duration of 7 days. Chag HaSukkot Tas Alecha, you should celebrate the Sukkot Shivas Yamim at the season of the year. Bas B'cham Migar Nacham Yikvecha. So the Gemara says that's one level of interpretation. Then the Gemara has, there's an additional level of interpretation in this pasuk, namely, leave out the word Chag for a minute. Sukkot Tas Alecha, you should construct the Sukkot Tas Alecha Min HaAsui. Shivas Yamim, the Sukkah should be sturdy enough to last for 7 days. If I make a Sukkah that's wobbly and it's going to fall down within the 7 days, so I'm not even yet in the midst from the first day when it's going to last. It has to be a Sukkah really called Shiva. And what material should you make the schach from? From the psalas Goran v'yekin. You should make it from Kidule Karka, Tolush and Dovashani Makabaltum. So this is a beautiful pshat. What do you do with the word Chag? So the Gemara says the word Chag is an... The word Chag doesn't apply. We say Chag Purim. Chag Purim. Or you call holiday Chag Ha'urim, the holiday of lights. So that's in modern Hebrew you call any holiday. You have a Chag HaSmicha. The yeshiva celebrates a Chag HaSmicha. In Europe they had also a Chag HaSmicha in the Lublina yeshiva. So strictly speaking, in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Sukkah it says that the word Chag is a word that only applies to a Yontif when you bring a Korban Chagiga. That's only Pesach Shavuos Sukkot. Even Hashmini Atzeres is a regel b'fnei atzmo. So the Ramah says you shouldn't refer to Shmini Atzeres as a Chag. Because you bring the Korban Chagiga as a Tashlum and for Sukkot, but you don't bring a Korban Chagiga because of Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres is not Mechuyev in a Korban Chagiga. So the word Chag as a holiday means a holiday on which you bring a Korban Chagiga. And the original word Chag, V'chagos moso chag l'Hashem, what does that mean? V'chagos moso chag l'Hashem means you should bring a Korban Chagiga. When that pasuk says, it doesn't mean you should celebrate a holiday. That's a description of bringing the Shalmei Chagiga. When you come, Sholosh Regalim, when the Bnei Yisrael came to the Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara says, Toseftan, the first paragraph of Chagiga. Gimel mitzvah, nitztav Yisrael b'aliyosam l'regal. When the Jews were l'regal, they became obligated to bring three karbonas, Riyah Chagiga and Simcha. So they had to bring an oil as Riyah, it says, Lo yiro fonai rekam. Yirol calls the Churcha, all the men have to enter the Azara. Below Yirol Fanai Rekam, we're not allowed to come empty-handed. So what makes it not empty-handed? So we have a tradition, it means you have to bring an Oilas Riyah, not any other korban, an Oilas Riyah. Then you have to bring a Shalmei Chagiga, because it says, V'chagos Mosel Chag L'Hashem. You don't have to celebrate every single day, V'chagos Mosel, one of the 7 days of Pesach, and one of the 7 days of Sukkot. V'chagos Mosel Chag L'Hashem means to bring a Shalmei Chagiga. Then in addition to the, you bring a Shalmei Chagiga, you can give it to someone else to eat. Then you have to eat Shalmei Simcha. That's a third. Riyah Chagiga and Simcha. So the word Chag as a holiday means a holiday, in Biblical Hebrew means a holiday on which you bring a Korban Chagiga. The Chag HaLashem also, Chag LaShem doesn't mean you should celebrate a holiday. Means you should offer a Korban Chagiga. So in the additional level of interpretation in this pasuk, Chag HaSukkot Tas Alecha Shivas Yamim Baz B'Chom Begar Necham Yikvecha, the Chacham had a tradition that the pasuk is referring to the construction of the sukkah. Sukkot Tas Alecha, you should build the sukkah, Tas of Lebanon, Shivas Yamim, should be sturdy, for the Psalas Garam Yekha. So what does the word Chag mean? Chag HaSukkot is hyphenated, that the sukkah is hookish to a Korban Chagiga. Kishem shechal shem shamayim ala chagige. Chagige is a carbon. Hegdish. Kal chal shem shamayim ala sukkah. This is the source for the principle of huktzah l'mitzvasai. That the sukkah is huktzah l'mitzvasai during the duration of Yom Kippur. Viz machlokes, the Rambam and the Rosh, how much of the sukkah is huktzah l'mitzvasai? The Rambam holds the whole sukkah, the tannis, with the stach, with the noyi sukkah, everything is huktzah l'mitzvasai. The Rosh says he doesn't understand it. All the hilchas sukkah only apply to the schach. Tasav lamanasa only goes on the schach. And the gedule karka and any makabel tum and tolish, everything only goes on the schach. So the Rosh thought that the huktzah l'mitzvasai should only go on the schach. Why does the Rambam hold that it goes even on the tannis? Anyway, so it's a machlekes, the Rambam and the Rosh. What exactly does it mean, huktzah l'mitzvasai? So one thing for sure it means, I'm going to take down part of the schach and I'm going to throw it into the furnace and burn it in order to get hanoah from it. So that's obviously a violation of huktzah l'mitzvasai. What if I have an office in the middle of Manhattan, and the real estate there, and I have to rent a space? I have to eat lunch, and I rent a space, and I make a sukkah, and it costs me a fortune of money every day. So I'm not coming in. Hashanah Rabbah, Shmini Atzeres, Simchastan, not coming in. So I want to take down the sukkah and put it away to save myself money. Is there a prohibition? Is that a violation of the hukta of the mitzvah? To take down the sukkah if I don't plan to use it. I'm not destroying the sukkah. I'm not using it for something else. I'm just taking down the whole sukkah and putting it away for next year. So that's a big machlokes in Achrayim. The Pischei Tshuva on Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Ikori Hadat. There was Asfardi. Rav Daniel Detrani, I think his name is. He has a likut of Achrayim on Arba Chalka Shulchan Aruch. So the Ikori Hadat quotes the whole machlokes. He had an yeshiva that had a whole pilpul, and they didn't resolve it. So half of the yeshiva held that it was muta, half of the yeshiva held that it's osa. The rise lekana lekan from the Gemara and Sukkah. So that's taka siri shayla. That may be a violation of an isa deraisa to take down a sukkah in the middle of Yontif, even though you don't plan to use it anymore. The din is, there's a machlekes in the Mishnah in Sukkah and Daftar Samar Aleph whether the schach has to be put up lishmo or not. Machlekes Bisham and Bisil, and we pass like Bisil, it does not have to be put up lishmo. So that's why the Gemara says that if a goy puts up the schach, it's also good. Even though a goy al pidin is mufka from doing lishmo, because ain't a b'toyrus, whoever doesn't have an obligation to fulfill that mitzvah cannot create lishmo. But we pass on sukkahs gamvach, sukkahs goyim, and noshim. Women are also not mechuyim in sukkah. So if you would have held that the asiyas ha-sukkah needs lishma, a woman wouldn't be able to make the sukkah. Women can bake matzahs because women are mechuyim in the mitzvah of matzah, a mazel. Throughout all the years, the women used to bake matzahs. So if the din would have been that women are not mechuyim in matzah, because basically it should have been as mangrama, but it's an exception to the rule. If the din would have been that women are not mechuyim in matzah, the women wouldn't be able to create the lishma, then the matzahs would have always cost the lot kosher prices. If men would have been making the matzahs all the years. A mazel that the women are mechuyim, and the women used to bake the matzahs. So it didn't cost that much. So here the Gemara says the famous that a sukkah that's put together by a non-Jew, sukkah that's put together by a woman, that's okay. We used to have my father for many years was a rabbi in an Orthodox shul in the Bronx. So there used to be a big conservative temple on the concourse. So they had their conservative rabbi for years and years. So when he retired, he was a nice guy. So when he retired, they took a young new shegetz from the Jewish Theological Seminary. It was a real hachasnik. So the chazan didn't like the new rabbi. He liked the old rabbi. He didn't like the new rabbi. Chazan was a European. So I remember, in this conservative temple, they used to have the sukkah on the bima. A lot of temples, they have the sukkah on the bima, under the roof, you know. And the chazan would say, Leishav HaSukkah, whatever. He would say Kiddush in the sukkah, Leishav HaSukkah. So what happened was, the sukkah collapsed. So they had the goy fix the sukkah. So the shaila was, is it good? The goy made the sukkah? So the chazan came to my father's home. He asked, what's the din? The goy made the sukkah. So my father said, where's the sukkah? He tells him the sukkah is in the shul under the roof. So my father said, the sukkah is no good anyway. It's not. No, let's forget about that. Let's naniach that that's okay. What's about the fact that the goy made the sukkah? My father said, the Gemara said, that's okay. He was heartbroken. The chazan thought he caught this young shegetz, the young rabbi Gepaskin wrong, that the sukkah was good even though the goy put up. So that's a machlek b'shamet. B'shamet holds no good. B'shamet holds you need asiyah l'shmo. So if the goy puts up the sukkah, is no good. But we pass like b'shilom, that it doesn't have to have asiyah l'shmo. So if the goy puts up the sukkah, it's okay. The Rabbeinu Tam in Gittin, Taisus quotes Rabbeinu Tam in Gittin on Daf Memhemet Beis. He says a chiddush that a woman cannot tie tzitzis. There's a machlokes in Rishonim where the tying tzitzis has to be lishma. Making the strings, preparing the strings as chutei tzitzis, the tviya has to be lishma. Spinning the wool, making it into thread, that has to be lishma. What about tying the strings? That should be a kavah chaimas. It's not a kavah chaimas. That's a machlokes rishonim. So according to those rishonim hold that tying the tzitzis needs lishma, so steps in the Rabbeinu Tam and he says that a woman is not mechuyev in tzitzis, ainu b'toira. So whoever is ainu b'toira cannot create lishma. So the woman is not kosher to tie the tzitzis. Cotton cannot create lishma. I remember when I was a little boy, so I used to sit next to Rabbi Chalap half the time in his father's shul, and I used to daven in the Young Israel with my grandfather. He used to daven. My grandfather was the Balkur in the Young Israel. So my grandfather, I was way before Bar Mitzvah, my grandfather taught me how to tie tzitzis. So I used to tie all the tzitzis and all the talis years before my Bar Mitzvah. So in Shulchan Aruch, that's two opinions, whether that's acceptable or not. The question is, if you need lishma for tying the tzitzis, a cotton cannot tie lishma. Cotton cannot create lishma. If you don't need lishma, then it's okay. So Rabbeinu Tam and Taisus thinks that tying tzitzis needs lishma. So a cotton cannot tie the tzitzis, and an isha is ain't a mitzvah, ain't a betaris, it cannot do either. Then Rabbeinu Tam says, eged of the lulav, the hadasim and arabs, if a woman makes the eged, it's possible. The Morgan Avron quotes this Rabbeinu Tam from the Taisus. A woman ties the yeged, it's possible. What's going on over here? We pass lulav and it's arch eged. You don't even need the eged. It means the Gemara says, l'chatchili needed eged. So l'chatchili need an eged, it has to be l'shmo. So the Pashup Shatna Rabbeinu Tam, he means within Rabbi Yudah. If we would have accepted the opinion of Rabbi Yudah, that lulav, tzarech eged, so he thinks that then you would have to tie the eged l'shmo. That's also a big chiddush. You would have had to tie, if the asiyas asukah doesn't have to be l'shmo, so why should the kshiras eged have to be l'shmo? So, I don't know. So Rabbeinu Tam thinks that the kshiras eged has to be l'shmo. So if a woman will tie it, it's a lack of lishma. But we pass in halacha lulav ain't tzarech eged. It's just lachatchila mishum zekel ve'anveil. So to say that that has to be lishma, that's very difficult. The pashtus is that the Rabbeinu Tam didn't mean it halacha l'maisa. He only said within Reb Yudah. Then the Gemara has a machlokes a shaila within Reb Yudah. Is there a din of tasav leimen asui by eged? The original mokah tasav leimen asui is by the sukkah tasav lucha. Is there a din of tasav leimen asa by the yeged? For example, we buy these containers that are all woven in such a way that the Mishnah Berurah quoted from the Sefer Agura Ba'alecha, that's called a kesher. So then we take the lulav, we stick it in the middle. Then we take hadas and put it over there. Then we take our rubbers, put it over there. So the kesher preceded the lulav and the hadasim and our rubbers. This is mamish tasav leimen asa. So the Gemara has a machloikis within Reb Yudah. Is there a din of tasav leimen asui if you hold lulav tzarech eged? But the simple reading of the Gemara is that if you hold like the Chachamim, that lulav ain't tzarech eged, and it's just lachatchila because of zakel ve'anveyu. So the pashtus is, that's how the Marsham writes. Pashtus is that according to the Chachamim, there's no problem of tasav leimen asui. That's the pashup shot in the Gemara. The thing is, the Marsham is always known as a big makel. Yeah, but he was just saying over a Gemara. Hashem is known as a big makel. He's a makel on new shilas that came up. This is you just said over a Gemara. The Rav Soloveitchik always used to be machmer on this. He said, no, it's tatsu v'lamin osim. L'chatchili, you're not allowed to use it. That we pass in lulu tzarech eged, l'chatchili, you need the same eged that Rabbi Yudah would have needed. Whatever Rabbi Yudah would need likuvah, we require l'chatchili. So he was makpid not to use these containers because of tatsu v'lamin osim. That I think is generally assumed like the Marsham said. That's kemat explicit in the Gemara. The Tasav Leimen Asa, according to the Chacham de Reb Yudah, is not even a problem of l'chatchila. The Mishnah Berurah points out in Shulchan Aruch that there is a machlokes in the Ritva and Sukkah, whether you need Shalachem only on the first day Sukkah or even on the second day. And the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber Paskins, that you do need Shalachem even on the second day. So a lot of people don't know that. They think the first day is their Isa, the second day is their Abonon, so you don't have any of the dinim of the first day. That's not correct. The Shalachem, we accept the opinion that you do need Shalachem on the second day, just like on the first. The Poskim quote the Tshuvas Rashi, the later Poskim quote, it's not quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that you have to have the Hadassim higher than the Aravos. Our minig is we put all the three hadassim on the right side and we put the two arabas on the left side. That's not me'akev. Now there's have other minhagim. But Rashi is quoted, Shuvas Rashi is quoted, that the hadassim have to be higher than the arabas. And if the arabas are higher than the hadassim, then you're not yotzei. very difficult. How can you say you're not Yotze? We pass a Yotze if you pick up one at a time. So how can it be that you're not Yotze if you have them all tied together? Very often that's the case because the Arabas are much taller than the Hadassim. So unless you snip off the bottom of the Arabas and you lower them, so the Arabas are always going to be higher than the Hadassim. So the later Paskin quote is Chuvas Rashi. You should be careful to have. Why should it be so? What in the world is that all about? So they tell you, a way to remember it is that Hadassim look the shape of the eyes, and the Arovas are the shape of the lips, and the eyes are above the lips. And that's Makir B'Dievet. That's a way to remember it. Okay, but that's not that. So what's the reason why it should be Makir B'Dievet? So the Marsham standing on his head trying to give a reason. So he says, maybe the Hadassim represent Tzadikim and the Arovas represent Rishoyim, whatever. Very shver. But Lechatchila, one should be choshish for Rashi, even though we don't understand what he's talking about. The Hadassim should be higher than the Arovas. Then in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah quotes Iran on the Rif in Sukkah, that the Gemara says the Hadassim and the Arovas have to be 3 Tvachim tall, and the Lulav has to be 4 Tvachim tall, a Tepach taller than the Hadassim and the Arovas. So Poshib Shad in the Gemara, that's the minimum size. But if you have Arovas and Hadassim that are 4 Tvachim tall, and the Lulav is 4 Tvachim tall, isn't the hate? What's the problem? There's no halacha that the lulav has to protrude higher. So he says, no. He claims that pshat in the Gemara is that however tall your arovas and hadassim are, the shedra of the lulav has to protrude a tefach above. Not enough. The shedra disappears when you get high up. The shedra is the fat part. When you get all the way to the top, the shedra disappears. So you have to make sure that you have a tefach of a shedra. Moshe said tefach 3.6 inches. You have to have a tefach of the shedra of the lulav protruding above the top of the hadassim and arovas. So you got to make sure that your hadassim and arovas are low. The lulavim are not so tall. That's always a problem. And the shedra of the lulav protrude a tefach above the hadassim and arovas is always a problem. Then the Magen Avraham quotes the Beis Yosef, it quotes one of the Rishayim, the Rabbein Yeruchim, who says, Anudin, based on his interpretation of the Gemara says, why do we hold the lulav in the right hand and the esrog in the left hand? So the Gemara says, because the lulav has 3/4 of the mitzvah and the esrog is only 1/4. You have 3 minim together and 1 min. So the Rabbi Yeruchim interprets the Gemara, if you hold both in one hand, you're not yotze. You have to hold dafka in 2 hands. So normally, when people go hashinus, so they hold everything in one hand and they hold the siddur in the other hand. It's very uncomfortable to hold the lulav on the one hand and then the esrog on the other hand and then the siddur in the other hand. We most people don't have the other hand. So where are you going to hold the siddur? Where are you going to hold the siddur? Rabbi Gerelich told us that when he was in Brisk in Europe, he learned Rav Elbel Soloveitchik. They didn't have, not like in America now, everybody has their own lulav and esrog, and all the children have their own lulav and esrog. There was only one lulav and esrog for the whole city. So he said, Rav Elbel insisted that someone should walk in front of the chazan backwards, holding the siddur like this. And the chazan was holding the lulav in one hand and then the esrog in the other hand, and he didn't have to hold the siddur because someone was holding the siddur in front of him. Okay, but today everybody has a lulav and esrog, so who's going to walk backwards in front of the chazan with the siddur? So it's a trick. You have to get the hoshinus to be able to hold. The same thing when you're saying halot. So how are you going to hold? You have to hold the siddur somewhere. So if it's possible, it's a kedai. The Magen Avraham quotes this from the Beis Yosef, who quotes it from the Rabbeinu Yeruchim. Such an opinion. If you hold in one hand, you're not yotze. Yeah, it's a trick, it's a stunt to figure out how to do it. Then the Magen Avraham quotes Rabbi Nachananel that if you switch hands, you're not yotze. The Gemara says you have to hold the lulav in the right hand, the esrog in the left hand. So the Gemara says if afchei, you're not yotze. So Rashi learns afchei means if you hold it upside down, shalok yederach gedilos. And then Magen Avraham quotes Rabbi Nachananel says afchei means if you hold the lulav in the left hand and the esrog in the right hand, so you're not yotze. So that's why there's an issue for left-handed people. There's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch where the lefty should switch and hold the lulav in the left hand, the esrog in the right hand, and he should hold the same as everybody else. So it's not a joke. According to Rabbeinu Hananel, it's a serious question. If you did the wrong way, you're not yotze. So the Mishnah Brura says maybe you should do it both ways. You should do first this way, then do it the other way. Best is don't become a lefty. Become a righty, so you won't have any shaylos. Many Hasidim are makbid bedavke to get a green esrog because of the Zohar. The Zohar says why it's important to have an esrog hayorok. Yeah, so in modern Hebrew, the word yorok means green. But in Talmudic Hebrew, the word yorok means yellow. If you want to say green in the Gemara, you say yorek hakarsi. The Gemara talks about a woman has a riyas dam that makes her into a nida. So the dam anidus is only if it's mara odom. What if it's dam hayorok? So there's a machlekes hatanoim, we paskin lohakel. So some think that dam hayorok means green blood. So Rav Soloveitchik was making fun. He said, it's ridiculous. There is no such thing as green blood. Dam hayorok means brown and yellow. Yorek kakarsi, that's what they said. Yorek kakarsi is green. And yorek means brown and yellow. So the Mishkanes Yankiv has a whole tshuva about this. Where he explained, Mishkanes Yankiv lived in Karlin, stolen Karlin, Twin Cities. So he has a lot of tshuvas that are intended against the Hasidim. So this is one of them. So he says that they misunderstood the Zohar. The Zohar talks about why the Yesrik has to be Yorok. They misunderstood the Zohar. Yorok means brown. It doesn't mean green. This is a famous tshuva historically. Mishkanes Yankiv was a student of Rav Chaim Volozhinov, so he sent his tshuva to Rav Chaim Volozhinov. So Rav Chaim Volozhinov passed away, the tshuva was on his desk. So they took the tshuva and they printed it, and the tshuva was Rav Chaim Volozhinov. Sutam Shulosh. But it was already printed before in the Mishkanes Yankiv, so who stole from whom? So it's obvious that this is the tshuva of Rav Yankel Karlina, because the Mishkanes Yankiv always writes tshuvas like that. He quotes a Gemara, which perek? He doesn't tell you which daf. He says, and Tosfos says in Erevin. Where in Erevin? And the Zohar. Chaim Volozhinov never quotes the Zohar. The Mishkanes Yankiv always quotes Zohar. So it's obvious that this tshuva was by the Mishkanes Yankiv. It was printed before Chaim Volozhinov died in his sefer in the Mishkanes Yankiv. So it was by mistake. It was reprinted in the Chutam Shulosh. But it's not by Rav Chaim Volozhinov, it's rather by the Mishkanes Yankiv. In Sukkah, you got to be careful. The Gemara says that no, your Sukkah shouldn't be hanging down too low. If you have Noye Sukkah, the Gemara has a machlekes, and we pask a Noye Sukkah should be within four tfochim to the four tfochim is the sheer makom. So it should be within four tfochim to the schach. Shouldn't be hanging lower than that. It's a question whether the four tfochim goes on the, let's say you have a big design or something, goes on the beginning, the top part of the Noye Sukkah, the bottom part of the Noye Sukkah. It's not explicit which way. The Pashta says you should be careful. The whole Noye Sukkah, from top to bottom, should be within the four tefachim to the schach. Sometimes people have a cover on top of their sukkah so it shouldn't rain in. So then when they want to go eat the sukkah, so they roll off the cover. So sometimes if they're not having 20 people eating in the sukkah, what do they have to roll off the whole cover? So they only roll off a little bit where they're going to sit. Yeah, but where they're going to sit, let's say, by the doorway, that's open over there. So you have a sukkah. It only has three walls. Four erasers, but no chalk. Okay. Let's say I have a sukkah that has, a U-shaped sukkah, has three walls. So I walk in the open wall, there's no wall over there. So I have two walls on the side, one wall in the back. So I only rolled off the cover the first couple of the first 2-3 feet, and the rest of the cover I leave. I'm not sitting there. So if you have dalet amos from where you are, if it's more than dalet amos from where you are till the third wall, then you can no longer say doif and akuma. So the third wall is not mitzarif to you. So you only have two walls. So it's a bracha levatola. You're not yotze. You're eating chutz l'sukkah. You're not yotze the mitzvah. That's a problem. I noticed some shuls in Manhattan where they had that problem, that they didn't, they weren't careful about the doif and akuma. Doif and akuma allows you to have schach posel. If you have something on top of your schach, so the schach that's there is considered schach posel. The schach posel is good up until dalet amos is considered an extension of the doifen. You can't sit under it, but the doifen is been starved to the rest of the schach. But if it's more than dalet amos, then you can't say doifen akuma anymore. Sometimes you have a sukkah, it's also a common mistake. Sometimes you have a sukkah that has four walls around it, but they don't really have that much schach. But everybody's going to sit in the middle. So they just put all the schach in the middle, and then it's missing by the edges. Next, in between the walls and the beginning of the schach is missing three tvachim. So the whole sukkah is no good. The halacha says that the doifen of the sukkah has to be within three tvachim to the schach in order to say lovud. Has to be mitztaref. If it's not within three tvachim, so the sukkah has no tefanis. The tefanis are not mitztarefim to the schach at all. That is a problem. That is a problem. And the Shulchan Aruch quotes from Taisvus, who reads in the Gemara like that, that's the Pashup Shat in the Gemara, that if you have a crack in the schach that goes from one side to the other, the larger the sukkah is, so the more unlikely this is to happen. How can you have a crack that goes all the way? If you have bamboo, if you have a small sukkah and you have bamboo sticks, so then you may have a crack that goes from one end of the sukkah to the other. Then the Gemara says, "Ein yishenim tachto." You can't sit under that crack, even though you have less, even though it's aver less than gimel tvachim. But the Gemara says, "Ein yishenim tachto." So Tai says, "How do you sit in any sukkah? There are always holes on top." So Tai says, "No, it's only aver ha'elach al panei kol ha'sukkah." So that's why the poskim recommend you should always make sure you put at least one bamboo piece the opposite direction, so you won't have any crack that's going al panei kulay. Those who are going to hotels in Eretz Yisrael for sukkahs, make sure the sukkah is kosher. The hashgacha organization doesn't necessarily take responsibility for the hechshav sukkah. They just see to the kashas and the food. A lot of those sukkahs are not so good. You got to go through hilchas sukkah and make sure that it's a kosher sukkah. Okay, machzim atayv everybody. Agut yom. Still cheated sukkahs.